chapter 8, verses 7 through 17. King Xerxes replied to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew, "Because Haman attacked the Jews, I have given his estate to Esther, and they have impaled him on the pole he set up. Now write another decree in the king's name in behalf of the Jews as it seems to best you, and seal it with the king's signet ring, for no document written in the king's name and sealed with his ring can be revoked." At once the royal secretaries were summoned. On the 23rd day of the third month, the month of Sivan, they wrote out all Mordecai's orders to the Jews and to the satraps, governors, and nobles of the 127 provinces stretching from India to Kush. These orders were written in the script of each province and in the language of each people, and also to the Jews in their own script and language. Mordecai wrote in the name of King Xerxes, sealed the dispatches with the king's signet ring, and sent them by mounted couriers, who rode fast horses especially bred for the king. The king's edict granted the Jews in every city the right to assemble and to protect themselves, to destroy, kill, and annihilate the armed men of any nationality or province who might attack them and their women and children, and to plunder the property of their enemies. The day appointed for the Jews to do this in all the provinces of King Xerxes was the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar. A copy of the text of the edict was issued as law in every province and was made known to the people of every nationality so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers riding the royal horses went out, spurred on by the king's command, and the edict was issued in the citadel of Susa. When Mordecai left the king's presence, he was wearing royal garments of blue and white, a large crown of gold, and a purple robe of fine linen. And the city of Susa held a joyous celebration. For the Jews it was a time of happiness and joy, gladness and honor. In every province and in every city to which the edict of the king came, there was joy and gladness among the Jews, with feasting and celebration. Many people of other nationalities became Jews because of their fear of the Jews had seized them.
Amen. Thank you, Donald. Well, that's quite a turn of events, huh? You know, Haman had this king's signet ring message sent out, "Hey, we're going to kill all the Jews on this day." Now, you know, after the second meal, king talking to Esther, Esther reveals Haman and his plans, and immediately the king has him seized and impaled on a wooden pole. Not the swimming pool, a wooden pool. And the Jews get this message from Mordecai, also signed by the king's signet ring, and the king saying, "Jews, I can't change what's already been put out there by Haman. I can't take it back. We can't scratch it. We can't tear it up and eliminate it. But we can write a new one, a new message, a new command, and signed by the king." And he says, "Arm yourselves, protect yourselves, be empowered to do what you need to do to protect your family and friends, your neighbors, protect yourself, be ready to fight your enemies." And it goes out, they get the message, and they get excited. You know, a few chapters ago, they were in fear. They were fearing for their lives. They thought they didn't see an end. But here, again, God was on it. God had a plan. God's hand worked through all these things. And of course, in next week, chapter 9, we'll get into more of that celebration about that last little bit. The people became so fearful of the Jews that they began to lie about being Jews themselves because they didn't want to die. It's amazing. God can change your enemy. God can change your enemy to being your friend. God can put fear in your enemy that they would no longer be your enemy, that they would go away. But sometimes there's things in our lives that we need to work on, and they're called walls. What are the walls in your life? The walls, you know, in your home or your barn or your business or even in that playhouse that you grew up in. They were very important. In that playhouse, mom and dad didn't want you falling out of the tree or falling down out of the playhouse, so there was some walls and there was things to hang on to. They are needed. They are important. Walls keep out the weather. They keep in our belongings. They keep in the things that are precious and care for those things, protecting them. In the media, we have heard for years, and I mean for years, about building walls here and there and the pros and cons and why and this and that. And then we've heard about building fences around important government buildings and some communities within our country. And then we can go drive up and down our streets, businesses and churches, bars on the windows. Bars on the windows of businesses and churches and some homes to keep some people out, to keep them on the outside, to keep us safe on the inside. Spiritually, we build walls, and we need spiritual walls. We need the proper spiritual walls to protect us and to be in prayer and protect us from the enemy. Satan is coming at us, and he's ready to find that crack, to find that weak spot. And he's just going to put everything he has and start jamming it with whatever he can. Jamming that crack to make it bigger, bigger, and bigger. He wants to tear down that spiritual wall that you're trying to build up in your own spiritual life, in your marriage, your family, your business, your school, the church. But yet there are times we are guilty of building walls that are not godly. Building walls that are not lovely or loving. We build walls that are not good for us. They are not good for God's work. They are not good for the kingdom of God. They are not good for the church. But we build them anyways. We build them and we go on about our business. But today I want to talk about, and I want you to know, and I ask, do you know that God, He is in the business of breaking down those types of walls. Breaking down those walls that keep us from Him. And as men and women, we build these walls. We build them in our hearts. We build them in our mind. We build them in our conversations. We build them in our thinking. We build them in the way that we act. And it's for different reasons, different experiences. But I ask you, do you think God notices those moments that you do that? Do you think God knows those walls that you build? Of course He does. He doesn't miss a thing. He knows everything. Esther, looking at Esther, she now finds herself inside the walls of a palace, a royal palace, walls who knows how tall they may be. And she's no longer on the outside thinking about what's going on in the inside. She's no longer that little girl on the outside thinking, what's it like to be a queen? What would it be like to live in the palace? What would it be like to have a solid family unit? Esther, in the palace, high, thick, strong walls. But even though she was now queen and inside those walls was her home and the protection that she would have from the outside world, she was still a Jew. The king was still a Gentile. Mordecai was out at the king's gate, still being hated by Haman. And chapter begins with the king having this sleepless night and he calls for the journal, you know, kind of like the Chronicles or the, you know, I'd say church council minutes, you know, give me the minutes and read them to me so I can get back to sleep. But that shouldn't be a good thing because I pray that our church minutes would be full of joy and praise of God's work. It shouldn't just be all about business. But we'll keep working on that. In verse 2 it says, it was found. It was found. The king heard. It was recorded that Mordecai had exposed Bithana and Teresh, the two who had planned to kill King Xerxes. The king has this light bulb moment. He asked himself in verse 5, what honor and what recognition has Mordecai received? So in that moment, that sleepless moment, God causing it, king asked for the minutes. He has this royal light bulb moment. The minutes are read, they're reviewed, the king realizes he had not thanked Mordecai. He had not taken care of the man that revealed this plot to have his life taken from him. Not one thing had been done for Mordecai. Oversight, overlook, humanness. But the time wasn't right. Now was the time, and God reveals it. Mordecai was just out about doing his daily activities. And he wasn't disappointed about not getting recognized. He wasn't out there moping around and complaining or griping to everybody that would listen to him. He was just out there doing his everyday business. He wasn't becoming hateful about Haman or what was being done to other people. Mordecai was content. Yes, he was content to let God be God. He was content to let God do whatever God wanted to do, and when God wanted to do it, he was content. He was a godly man. So what does God do? God notices. He realizes, and he knows what Mordecai did and how Mordecai's been faithful through this whole process, how he's been that spiritual leader for Esther. He notices the contentment, and God takes care of Mordecai. God continues to take care of him. I'm going to share Hebrews 6:10 with you. It says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Isn't it awesome? Hebrews 6:10, write it down, look it up later. God is not unjust. He will not forget what you do or what you have done. No one else may notice. No one may else ever notice what you do. But God will. And God does. But also God knows the walls that we build up. God knows the moments we turn our backs on people or we turn our backs on the world or we try to cut them out of our lives. You know, in those moments when your boss does not give you the credit that you think you deserve. Or maybe you did do a great job and you've done the job well and the boss just goes on. Those moments when your spouse, for whatever reason, doesn't say thank you. For those moments when your children just continue to use you to no end. For those moments when it just feels like everybody wants something from you. God notices how you handle all those things. God notices everything, and God is recording everything and keeping track of everything. So let us remember that as God keeps track of these things, and they're being recorded, there's going to be a record of them that will never be forgotten. Are we doing it all? Are we doing all that we can for Jesus? Are we all in? As we think about these things, reading on through chapter 6, I trust you guys did that this week. You know, Mordecai gets the royal treatment, as I shared with our young people today. Haman gets to give Mordecai the tour around town on the horse's king, on the king's horse. But Mordecai, in verse 12, says, after Mordecai returned to the king's gate, he still went back to his place. Haman returns to continue to wonder, when's this all going to fulfill? This evil plan to kill Mordecai and get the Jews killed and get them out of his hair. So Haman goes to the banquet, second banquet. Mordecai has to be outside. He looks at this platform of this wooden pole that's going to be used to impale him probably, built by Haman. Mordecai has to be wondering, what in the world, God, is going on here? Lord, is the plan of hatred and killing that Haman has put together for me, against me and against the Jews, is it going to be fulfilled? What's next, Lord? What are you going to do about this, God? Am I this close to my life being over? How often have you felt like Mordecai in this moment? Are you struggling with fear? Or a sense that God is not near? Do you feel that there is a big separation between God and you, and your moment in life, your activities, the things that are going on, your struggles? Do you feel like God has been absent? Are you feeling lost? Do you not know which way to turn? Do you feel like you're a lost cause, that you've done so much and you've been so far separated from the Lord or Scripture that it's too late for you? Do you feel it's too late for God to do something? If you're having these feelings, I know they're real. You could be feeling this way. You may have felt this way before. We all have these moments when we feel distant. Distant from God, distant from our church family, distant from our spouse, distant from our children. You know, we're human beings. We have these moments. We have these ups and downs. And I want to tell you, I know these moments are real. And they seem confusing. And it seems disappointing. And it is heartbreaking. And it does age you. If you let it consume you, it's going to age you and eat you up. But today I want to enlighten you, I want to encourage you, and I want to support you to look up. Look to the Lord. Begin to ask the Lord to give you eyes to see His hand at work. Because God is not absent. God has been and always will be present. He is available. God knows you so well, and He knows all your struggles. He knows your setbacks. He knows the disappointments. He knows the failures, and He knows why, and He doesn't need it explained to Him. All God says, I am here. He's trying to tell that to you. I am here. Now, last week, I was, you know, trying to get you to realize God had a message for you. And God was going to tell you something, either after communion or after the message sometime through the week. Maybe He talked to you on Monday or Tuesday or another day. But just know that He's still here. And He wants you to know that I am near. Because God hears your cry for help and because God hears your prayers, there will be things God will reveal to you. There is a change when God gets involved. Right around the corner, around the bend, the next moment, the next day, God is there and He's continuing His holy work. He wants a breakthrough for you. He wants a breakthrough in your life. Through all what we've been studying here in Esther, God put Esther where she needed to be for a time as that. God spoke to the king and gave him eyes to see Esther and ears to hear her request. God, through Scripture, has moved His people. God has moved the nation of His people from place to place. And God can still direct any nation. God can direct any race. God can direct any church. God can direct your family. God can direct you. And He wants to. Will you give Him the right of way? Will you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, direct me. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. God can, God does, and God's plans are the best for you. We get here in Esther chapter 8. It's a lot different than the earlier chapters. Verses 15 through 17 tells us about Mordecai's real treatment, and it is time for joyous celebration for all the Jews, not just Mordecai, not just Esther, not just around the palace, not just in the community, but all the kingdom. The word gets out. All the Jews are celebrating. Meaning, no matter how scared you feel, no matter how scary the moment, how disconnected, or how much garbage that you may be holding within you, no matter how thick the walls of depression, no matter how thick the wall of anger and disappointment may be, there is hope in our Lord. Amen? There is hope in our Lord. And I want you to turn to your neighbor and your right and left and say, there is hope. There is hope. And there is hope. There's hope. We have this hope. And as we think about this hope, there's hope for walls that need to be torn down, and they will be. God is working in you, and you might not see it right yet, and you may not be fully ready for Him to tear down that wall, but He's working in a way, in some roundabout way, He wants that wall to come down. And how does He break down those walls? Well, with His presence, with Him with us, day in and day out, evening in the middle of the day, middle of the night, 24/7, His presence, God is with us. And He reveals Himself to us through His Word, through the church, through connections, through family, through loved ones, His presence, His actions. You know, Psalm 30, chapter 30, verse 5 tells us, weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Isn't that awesome? A weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. You know, God has given us a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. And in John 3:13, it says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who comes from heaven, the Son of Man. You know, He came for us. You know, in the Old Testament, it says, you know, Moses lifted up the snake in the desert. The Son of Man may be lifted up that everyone may believe in Him and may have eternal life. John 3:16-17 reminds us that for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever, isn't that awesome, whoever, doesn't matter who, just whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. Praise be to God. And then just on down, verse 21, John 3. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that they may be seen plainly that what He has done has been done through God. Isn't that awesome? Let me say it again. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that they may see plainly. Not with smoke screens, not with deception, not with tricks, not with gimmicks. God's not about any of that stuff. He's about, here's the truth, boys and girls. Here's the truth, men and women. This is Jesus, my Son. He is the light. He is what you need. He will save you. He will bring down those walls. So I encourage you today to let God break down those walls that are not holy, those walls that may be holding you back from your spiritual walk, those walls that may be coming between you and your spouse or you and your children, you and the boss, you and your work, whatever it is, maybe you and the church, whatever that wall is, I encourage you to realize that God's plan and God's work, it is so good. It is so good, just as it was in this book of Esther. And I pray that you'll have a sense and that you'll have a new understanding of eternal and everlasting hope through Jesus Christ. Hope in Jesus Christ and new power, new confidence to begin to rebuke Satan, to say, get out of here, enemy. Get out of here, evil one. I no longer want you chipping down my wall. I'm not going to let you in. You're done. I'm done with you. Rebuke the evil one. So as we go forward today, there is hope for whatever your situation. There's Jesus to cleanse all sin. There is eternal life in the kingdom of heaven, waiting for those who cling to Jesus. Again, take a look at chapter 9 for next week. We'll see the Jews have the upper hand. They are celebrating. They're ready for their enemy. They know that they're on the winning side now. Let us pray. Oh Lord, I pray for your church and your people to go from this time of worship today knowing that they're on the winning side, that they've been empowered, they've been given this hope, they've been given this joy of Christ through forgiveness of sin and heartache and brokenness, and that God is at work in them and through them and around them. So, Lord, in you there is nothing that we should fear. There should be nothing that seems hopeless. For, Lord Jesus, you are our Lord and Savior. And I praise you and I thank you, and we love you, Lord. And in your name I pray. Amen.